Welcome back, new talkers, to the Bob Davis Podcast. Back in the studio. It's kind of weird. My butt feels weird because I'm not in the truck. I'm back in the studio. And a lot of observations today, getting back into the news and getting back into the swing of things. Not that I don't when I'm traveling, but it's a different mentality. So it's good to get back in the studio. We're going to talk about a lot of today's news items in podcast 641. So let's talk about Ryan Plumbing and Heating for Business very quickly, because when it comes to keeping all of your systems running right, especially these days in business, you can have plumbing or heating problems and it will shut you down. You need reliable service. So we're talking about AC, we're talking about bathrooms, we're talking about leaky pipes and things of that nature and plumbing problems. So if you're in business, think Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Yes, they go back four generations. In St. Paul, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. I talk to Greg Ryan all the time. Haven't seen him because I've been on the road, but we always talk about the things that businesses need. And I talk a lot about residential. We talk about residential for emergency service, but we're talking about improving efficiency of these systems. And I want to focus on business because Ryan does a lot of business stuff. So if you're in business, and I'm talking about small businesses, large businesses, maybe you own apartment buildings, you know, maybe you're, tearing something down or working on something or building something up, whatever it is that you're doing, you need plumbing help, you need Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Once again, you can call 651-224-4771 in St. Paul, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, or you can check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. One of the big conversations going on politically in this country has to do with foreign trade. There was a piece just recently by Senator Klobuchar in Minneapolis and St. Paul concerning Trump's change of heart and change of policy regarding Cuba. Now, Cuba is not that big of a deal, to be quite honest with you. I disagree with the senator. There's 11 million people in Cuba. It is no China. It is no Brazil. But in any case, this is just one more example of how foreign manufacturing and foreign trade and foreign affairs figures prominently with this president. And if you are manufacturing abroad, and if you're in the decision chain for a company that is manufacturing abroad, then you might be preparing to bring some of your business back to the United States. And if you are, if your company's considering manufacturing in the United States, remember Depot Star right here in Minnesota, DEPOT, Depot Star America. Design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit Depot Star at depotstar.com. Back in the studio after the long road trip, and of course, it's always interesting getting used to new surroundings. And I always tell that story of how we would go out and we'd broadcast live from the state fair for 10 days, usually, and come back. And it was so weird to be back in the studio because you had to kind of get used to it. And that's what I've been doing for the past month is just remote broadcasting, driving around the country in Mobile Podcast Command, stopping all over the place. Don't need to revisit most of that. It was people say, well, where'd you go? You know, it's just interesting the questions that you get from people. Well, where'd you go and what did you see? And of course, it's all right there in the podcast. And the first objective was storm chasing. And the second objective was visiting my friend in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and you heard that podcast. And the third objective was the general manager of the Bob Davis Podcast's 95th birthday, my mom in rural Virginia. And then from there, I just headed back, and it's funny, I really didn't do any more podcasts after the one I did. I don't even know where it was when I did. Did I do one in Virginia? I guess I did. I don't know. Maybe I didn't. I think I did one right after Virginia in Gloucester, Ohio, and then after Gloucester, which was, by the way, thoroughly depressing, and I'll probably talk about that a little bit in this podcast. After there, I went up to Chicago, stopped in Chicago about 30 miles outside of town on a farm with my friend Steve. We've already done a podcast together. He's kind of not interested in doing podcasts. And I just never got everything out. I think I was still processing a lot of stuff that happened, which I want to talk about a little bit. And then I headed up for a business meeting in Skokie. And it was a great trip because Once I was in Skokie and north of Skokie, I could have got back down to the Northwest Tollway and just gone ahead and gone out 94. But I decided, in keeping with this whole back roads thing for this podcast and for the podcast on the road, that I would continue to do that. So I just went all the way up 41, which really is 94 anyway, past Milwaukee, past, you know, up into the Green Bay Oshkosh region. But then once you get to Oshkosh and Appleton, you can cut over on 4510, and then that leads to just straight up Route 45. And my objective here was Chippewa Falls, because there was a music show out there this weekend in Chippewa Falls, and I was going to camp there. Well, to make a long story short, it was very expensive to get a campsite at this show, so I decided to go ahead and come home. So I get home, and I've been having trouble with my shifter in Mobile Podcast Command. This is a common problem with Fords, based on what I've learned, that the shifter gets worn down and it's hard to get it into gear, and it doesn't quite feel like it's in gear. And it almost caused a catastrophic problem in Eau Claire, where I stopped. And I made it home, pulled it in the driveway, and was trying to get it in park, because it shifts the gear so you can't get where you need to go. And I could not get it in park, and I'm pulling on it and pulling on it, and it finally came loose. So now Mobile Podcast Command has drifted down to the curb, the lip of the curb, which is basically holding it up. And then tomorrow, in podcast time, I got to get it towed, because I've got to get that steering column rebuilt. So there's that. And then also the circulating fan went bad. So I have two things that I have to get done on Mobile Podcast Command. So it is with mixed emotions that I come back to the studio, because I really do like staying out. It's just that there needs to be an objective for most of it. And with the things going on in the world, I guess it was time to come back and kind of rejoin, and it is with a heavy heart, to quote Lyndon Baines Johnson, it is with a heavy heart that I come back and join back up with the world. And of course, I've been keeping track of what's going on, and kind of hit on it a little bit with the trip to Gloucester in terms of economics and the mining situation, and I'll be returning to that theme, I'm sure, again in the future. I'm also slightly disappointed because, and I'll talk a little bit about podcasting, slightly disappointed as well because I've learned that a couple of times I did a podcast that 3 years ago would have been great for the Bob Davis podcast, but it's just not good enough anymore. There has to be more dynamics. There has to be more... there has to be a little bit more pre-production. There have to be some more efforts to find people to talk to, and that's just really disappointing and hard for me, because when you have done as many podcasts as I've done, you've already done that. So almost everything, at least if you are a perfectionist, or if at least you're of any value, I think, as a podcaster, you got to try to do new things. And when you first start out, your first 50 podcasts, you're like, this is great, because everything's brand new and you feel like nobody's ever done it before. At least you haven't done it, and it's fantastic. But then after 641 podcasts, and this is podcast 641, you're like, well, I've already done that. So if I want to do that again, then what am I going to do to add content and add perspective? And I think that's part of the reason that I don't want to say soured on the political process, because I've been thinking a lot about that today. I don't want to say that I'm soured on the political process and on politics, or even disillusioned, even though I feel as though I am. And I think the problem with disillusionment is, where do I rejoin? Where do I join to add to, to advancing the story? When everything is so partisan, when people are sharing partisan things, and I talked about that a little bit too, where does a podcaster rejoin to try to advance things? Because everybody's doing the same thing. A, I'm not so sure people want to even talk about politics. Although I have to say, the podcast I did about If You Want Truth, You're Getting Conned, because you are. Especially the people that are earnest and looking for the truth, they're the ones that are really getting conned. that podcast actually got more interest than almost any of the other podcasts I did on the road. So, you know, I'm continually amazed and surprised by the internet in the sense that what you think works doesn't always work and vice versa. So something that worked 2 months ago doesn't necessarily work now. Obviously, there's other things in play and people are rejoining and disappearing and rejoining in terms of the political process. But I will tell you one story from the road in one of the many conversations I had, because I was decrying all of this sharing with Facebook and Twitter and social media, which is where everyone gets their news. Twitter is terrible. I mean, I've said this 100 times and I feel like I'm repeating myself, but fine. I mean, people do it all the time. Why should I be any different? Because people try to make a cheeky statement about something and throw up a link, and it's, I don't see what this serves. I just really don't get it. And the Facebook thing is people throwing up links and sharing things which are unconfirmed. And I'm not even saying they're fake news. I'm saying that everything has a partisan purpose and everything is designed to persuade. And then you go to the sites that have the commentary and it's the same thing. That it's just you literally forget it the second that you see it. And you, my response in general is a head shake almost immediately. Oh, God, here we go again with this. And here we are. And this is ever since the shooting, the Steve Scalise congressional baseball shooting. First of all, I didn't even know there was a congressional baseball game. This is something that's so inside baseball, literally, that nobody out here in the rest of the world even knew that there was something, a tradition called the congressional baseball game, or cared. That's something, you know, that's like an internal thing that they do. We don't even need to know about that. It doesn't need to be covered. And, you know what's going to happen now, that there was a shooting with a practice with Steve Scalise, and I feel bad for the guy and everything else. Now it's going to be covered. So the baseball game is going to be televised and people are going to cover it because it's now it's news and it's supposedly, or something that supposedly we care about, another inside Washington thing that supposedly we care about. Well, it happened almost a week ago now, and we are continuing to rehash the shooters, this and the political of that, and whether or not we, and the gun control nonsense, and I don't know what it is with shootings. It just provokes the worst in American politics. And we're not talking about anything. Somebody said to me, and this is a story I wanted to relate. Hey, well, what do we do if we don't share stuff like that? If we don't post articles from sources that are bought and paid for, which is the truth, then what do we do? If we don't post stories from sources that are just clickbait, that are trying to digitally market something to sell to somebody else, what do we do then? And I said, well, and I'm going to go back to what I said long time ago when I started this, when I started covering the political campaigns and came to the conclusion rapidly that it was all, with all due respect to my listeners that I don't have on iTunes have the, explicit language thing, that is basically bullshit. It's all bullshit. And he said, my friend said, well, what do we do? And I said, you have to start with being a good citizen. And I was thinking about that today. And I was thinking about this whole thing about being a good citizen. What does it mean to be a good citizen and being involved in the community and everything else, and starting organizations that are designed to, that have the trust of the community first. And it means you've got to figure out what things need to be served in your community and start trying to serve them instead of trying to post things about you don't like Muslims, or you don't like white people, or you don't like, you know, this guy, or you don't like that guy. I mean, it's the whole spectrum that is doing this. Or, you know, you're going to follow candidates around in Virginia and write about how people are waving Confederate flags and, you know, what's going on with politics in this country, and has Trump changed politics forever and everything else? You know, 50 years ago, people just didn't think about that stuff because they were too busy living their lives and doing whatever they do in their communities, you know, selling insurance or something. I don't know. Making hamburgers, you know, starting businesses, those things. It's gotten to the point where everything is so politicized in America that nobody knows what to do. My neighbor said the other day, you know, America's really in trouble. We were talking about the mining town I visited in Ohio, which has probably been challenged for over 100 years anyway. But and we were talking about, he was like, well, can't those people get jobs in the solar industry or whatever? And you know, without going through the long litany about the whole thing, is solar, you know, just doesn't have the efficient output of fossil fuels. You can certainly run your house on solar power, I suppose, and you can certainly contribute to the effort, but alternative energy is alternative because it produces only about 3-4% of the power that we use. You cannot, people, run a manufacturing plant or a, you know, Bessemer furnace on solar power. It will suck up so much electricity. People don't realize how much power is necessary to light those furnaces and run them at the heat levels that you need to alloy fine steel to do the things that need to be done, whether it's bridge building or aircraft or cars or engine blocks or tools or any of those things. Because they don't understand those businesses and they don't want to. They just think this is the thing. And I said, well, aside from the fact that solar wouldn't be able to provide the jobs for those people, I'm not sure those people could do anything. I'm not, you know, when you see people wandering around the streets, I'm not sure that they have the skills to do anything because most of the jobs in this country are IT oriented. Even the manufacturing jobs are IT oriented. And people are working with computers almost all the time. So if you have none of those skills, and I'm not talking about being able to load up Facebook on your phone. I'm talking about, you know, the kinds of IT skills that allow you to learn how to run machinery and safely and do it right and everything else, or to manage IT for something like Amazon or whatever. And by the way, what's all this? This is another thing that came up today. Since when does it have to be an argument that a company is going to buy another company? So Amazon is buying Whole Foods. Why is that? This should not be allowed to happen. Why? Why can't Amazon buy Whole Foods? 10 years ago, all you heard was people bitching and moaning about Walmart. So now you've got Amazon, which is killing retail, and somehow there's something wrong with that. This is what I mean by this huge change and shift that is occurring in this country. These are things actually happening, and the people are getting left behind because what they're doing is wasting their time reposting things that have nothing to do with anything. It's all part of this echo chamber that we call Washington, D.C. So while I was heading down south to do storm chasing, my friends at Zero 3D were heading up north to New Hampshire for the big Laconia motorcycle rally there, and they will be at Sturgis in August. And I just want to mention very quickly, this is the great motorcycle products and accessories company, especially lighting options and solutions, so that you can be seen. If you click on the banner at the top of the page of the BobDavisPodcast.com, the picture is of the rear lighting options. Those are LEDs. They really help your motorcycle be seen, and it's about safety, but it's also about being badass and super cool. And Zero has a bunch of really, really great accessories and options for you. They have a new catalog, which is great, and a really great website to help you. Check out Ciro3D.com, Ciro3D.com. Ride safe and click on the banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcasts.com. And this is where it's difficult for a podcaster to figure out how to re-engage and advance things. Because if you ask my advice, I would say none of this means anything. None of it means anything. Literally, I'm going to say it again, it's all bullshit. It is virtually worthless in terms of information that is going to help anyone on their day-to-day mission in life. When people do things like paste stuff or ask a series of questions about political philosophy on Facebook, it is a worthless waste of time. Because, you know, it's like political organizations having seminars on messaging. Why? You know, if you are going to run for planning, council, believe me, messaging isn't your problem. You know, you want to run for the planning commission in your town or village or whatever, you've got to get out and talk to people. They have to know who you are, and they have to believe that you're a good citizen first, or they're just not going to vote for you. Messaging isn't going to have anything to do with it, because you've got all these people, I don't know what they're doing, watching House of Cards, and they all think they're in Washington. They all think that they're communications experts, and they have to understand messaging. No. and posting things about political philosophy on Facebook in an effort to get people. I just want people to understand, or, you know, legal arguments for and against the situation in Minneapolis with the exoneration of the police officer that shot Philando Castile last, I don't know when it was, spring or summer or fall, here in Falcon Heights, I think it was. You know, as though they were there, A, or B, they're some kind of legal expert, and I don't see the point, except the comments that you, 27 comments, which is out of, 5 billion people using Facebook, who cares? This is what's going on in this country. Yes, America is in trouble. My neighbor, yes, America is in trouble. You're absolutely right, because we're not paying attention to things. And people said, all on my trip, people asked me, well, what do you think's going to happen? I mean, I don't see how this can continue. I don't see how the constant, and maybe it will. Maybe I'm just, out of touch, and it will continue. And this is the new reality, and this is how it is, and you better get used to it. But if it is, I'm not going to participate. I'll just continue to do podcasts about travel or the sun, or not do them, because I'm not going to participate in this nonsense going on. I feel sorry for people who have to post every day, and I feel sorry for people who have to go on television and radio and fill the airwaves with nonsense, because that's what it is, or bullshit, depending on how you look at things, because that's what it is. It's just, none of it will be remembered in 50 years. I recall the conversation I had with my son, in Wichita on the trip, and we had this conversation before. We were talking one time, and he said, probably the most significant thing that's happened in the last 100 years is World War II, and World War II as a social event that came after a long series of government failures. Let's just be honest about it. There was a worldwide economic depression because of government failures, and because of there were changing factors in economics and society that were happening. New technology was coming into play. I was on a lot of back roads that Bonnie and Clyde, I'm sure, were on in Oklahoma and Missouri and Kansas, and Texas. And, they were using the latest technology to do what they did. And the latest technology in terms of linotype newspapers were covering, on a day-to-day and hour-by-hour basis, their exploits. As an example, new technology in terms of military, new technology in terms of, cities being built, and the country was largely rural. All these things were coming into play at that time, and you couldn't see it, right? And we had a depression, which was also a factor in all that. And then we had a huge war, which was a factor in all that. And then we locked it down for the next 50 years because of nuclear weapons. And so the nuclear result of World War II and the Cold War, those things. So from about 1932 to 1962, the world shifted and changed so significantly. We are still dealing with those changes. Those are the most significant things that happened in 100 years. It wipes away almost everything else, up to and including the Industrial Revolution, which was really a 19th century thing. But this was the most significant thing to happen in the 20th century, World War II. And people were completely unprepared for it. I talked to my mom about this several times, and she said, well, we knew something was going to happen, but we couldn't, nobody seemed to be able to do anything about it. And this is exactly what I was talking about. It feels as though we are hurtling toward something. And people said, well, what's going to happen? And I said, well, I don't know, but I'll tell you, this is folly, is what this is. All of this screaming and yelling and partisanship and everything else is folly. If there is, for a minute, people said, oh, this Steve Scalise shooting, this is terrible. And I did a podcast, that Truth podcast, where I said, you've got to stop allowing yourself to be radicalized by these people who are A, charlatans, B, getting paid to be charlatans, or C, out of their minds and looking for click and whatever, clickbait and everything else. And on cue, 2 or 3 days after I did that podcast, on cue, the Steve Scalise thing happened, at the congressional baseball practice. And everybody now has to write editorials about how this is, terrible, and we need to do something about this and everything else. Nobody's going to do anything about it. You have to do something about it. I have to do something about it. We have to figure out another way because this way is dangerous. You know, when you have people like Pat Buchanan and Michael Savage or whatever his name is talking about civil war, and I've said this a couple of times, sure enough, as soon as this Scalise thing happened, by the way, let's not forget Gabby Giffords was shot, and we went through the whole thing with her. Let's not forget that at the time of the Depression, the governor of New York was shot and I believe killed by an assassin, and it was an attempt on the president's life. Let's not forget that Huey Long was shot down and killed in Louisiana as well. So this is people who serve, whether you like them or not, whether you agree with them or not, are vulnerable. People who play public shows, people who do public things are vulnerable one way or another. And it's a disservice to this country to have people turn around and write an article that's going to get clicks that says, we could have a civil war. Are we close enough to it? Are we at a civil war? Is this going to be a civil war? And I'm going to say it again. We do not want that. We don't even want to think about it. We don't even want to go there. We don't even want to present the mantle of that possibility, because it gets people thinking about things they shouldn't think about. If you've studied the Civil War, if you've studied any Civil War, the bloodletting is on a exponential scale. It's ridiculous, because the blood has to flow and the destruction has to flow until the energy is spent. And if Palestinian question, the Israeli-Palestinian question, or Venezuela, or any of the countries where we've had civil wars in Africa are any indication, apparently the blood just doesn't stop flowing and the situation is never resolved. And if we have a civil war in this country, we will no longer be a democratic country. And if we have a bunch of idiots succeed in having a constitutional convention, we will lose our democracy and we will lose our republic such as it is, and we will lose our opportunity to be good citizens. And if we have a shooting civil war, all of you, I guarantee you that Savage and Pat Buchanan will not be in the forest, with their store-bought AR-15s doing whatever it is that they do, playing war games, because they'll be cut down immediately or arrested and taken away or whatever. We can't have this kind of situation. And sooner or later, there's going to be a crackdown. And I don't care if you're on the left or if you're on the right. I don't care if you're a libertarian. I don't care if you don't like police. I don't care about any of that. People cannot go out and take the law into their own hands. People cannot go out and disrupt. People cannot go out and do these things and have a country that is the world's greatest power and the largest economy. It will not work. And it will only get worse if that is what happens. So I don't know how much stronger a person can say it. That's why I'm not participating in this Trump this and Trump that BS, because it doesn't accomplish anything. Either, there'll be an outcome from this trial and he'll go or he won't, there's nothing else to talk about. Me trying to convince you of something I don't even know about because I read some articles doesn't mean anything. And people need to wake up. And what I've been telling people is, well, it's either going to be something silly like that, which will not be silly. Look at the Civil War in the United States. And by the way, obviously, over 100 years later, 160 years later, whatever it is, 55, almost 160 years later, 1960 to 1860, whatever, 1860 to 1865. So 1960 was 50 years ago. So it's almost 160 years later. You drive around Missouri and you drive through Arkansas and you drive through towns in places like that. And there are towns all over Missouri and Arkansas and Kansas and Texas where you come upon a plaque. And most people don't read them because they're those, national highway plaques that are made out of bronze or whatever, some kind of metal. And it's etched or it's raised lettering and you go by at 60 miles an hour and you don't read it. And if you stop and read those, there are skirmishes in these little towns, okay? So 26 Union cavalry came across 52, Confederate troopers. And guess what? People got killed. Like in every little town, these little towns in Missouri and Arkansas and places like that, 20 or 30 or 40 people got killed. And it wasn't always the troopers. Or somebody's house got burned down, these things have a human cost that goes on forever. It's 160 years later and you drive through these towns and they still have the plaques up and they still have the flags that fly and they still have the little parks in memorial. Okay? You want that? You want to have 100 years from now or 120 years from now, your descendants, because you'll be dead, struggling to put a plaque up or struggling to say, you know, this is the flag my grandfather carried into battle and we can't have that because you're on the wrong side and you lost. We can't, you're not allowed to do that. And this is against the law and that's against the law. And, you know, is that what we want? That's one option. And the other option is that, there will be some sort of natural or nature-driven response to the fact that energetically we're not paying attention. And energetically we're in the process of just ginning up the hate because we don't like Snowflake or Snowflake doesn't like the Trump Hitlerites or this guy doesn't like that guy. And so I'm going to go to this baseball park or next month it'll be something else and I'm going to shoot people or I'm going to beat some people up to show them this. I'm going to wear a mask and have this protest. And if you believe in the super consciousness, if you believe in the collective unconsciousness, there will be a response. And I said to somebody on this trip, there's going to be some kind of pandemic is what's going to happen because we can't go on like this. You know, we'll destroy our country and we'll destroy the futures of our children and we will fail to meet any semblance of any objective that we think we are meeting today by doing all this nonsense. Or we'll get lucky and have a pandemic and a third of us will expire. I mean, I hate to sound, you know, that cynical, but it will take our mind off of everything else. And if you study American history, if you study any kind of history and you study the Depression and you study what was going on in this country and you don't allow Hollywood and New York and Silicon Valley to tell you what to think and how to think, if you just read things, read about the French Revolution. If you think that you're going to have a certain outcome, you're out of your mind in this kind of atmosphere. Read about how, and I'll just use Bonnie and Clyde as an example, but you could use Dillinger or anybody else. These people were terrorizing America's small towns. Let's not forget the Dillinger in a bank robbery situation. The townspeople showed up with rifles and pistols and shot back at him. And let's not forget that people in the Bonnie and Clyde triangle were virtually terrified. They didn't know who they were. They didn't know what they were doing. All they knew is they killed cops. And we've glorified them as a couple of cute kids in a really cool old car, you know, yada, yada, yada. And I told in my podcast about Bonnie and Clyde, I talked about how if I was going to make a movie, I would show them for the terrorists that they were. And I don't mean ISIS. I just mean that they terrorized communities. America deeply divided in the Depression. And look what happened. We took our eye off the ball and we had a conflagration we almost lost that killed literally millions of people and hundreds of thousands of Americans in the prime of their life, 21 and 22 years old. If you want that, you just keep sharing stuff from joeschmo.com about how they hate Trump or they hate Trump people or they whatever the side of the political spectrum you're on. Just keep sharing that stuff and keep posting crap like that on Facebook and keep firing people up and keep blowing on the coals. And when it finally comes down, you will have a piece in it. Take it from somebody that knows. I think it's a good place to stop because I'm getting worked up and I don't want to get worked up, but you know, it's not a good profile for America to have this kind of ridiculous screaming and yelling going on. It's just simply two different views of how the government should function. We ought to be able to sit down and work these things out and figure out what works. So I'll tell you one thing that works. Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home and business. I mentioned earlier I want to concentrate on business, especially for emergency service, because if you're in a small retail outlet or something to that effect, you have a plumbing problem, you're out of business for a couple of days. So you want reliable service. Once again, Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Online at ryanplumbing.com. Thank you for listening listening to the Bob Davis podcasts on Stitcher.com. Tune in. They can be somewhat of a problem. Somebody sent me an email and said Podcast Addict pulls the podcast right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com and plays them back with no inserted ads. I'm a big fan of iTunes. I think iTunes is still the best. They are the granddaddy in terms of podcast syndication. I don't like inserted ads, but there you are. If you have an Android device, you're listening on Stitcher or Blog Talk Radio or TuneIn, there's going to be inserted ads. Thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. And thanks for your donations to thebobdavispodcasts.com. That kept me in diesel fuel on the way. All right, I got to go to yoga. It's time to come back. Get back in the studio.
I get deep, I get deep, I get deep, I get deeper into this thing. The deeper I go, the more knowledge I know what to sing, what to bring. What? I get deep, I get deep, I get deep, I get deeper, deeper, deeper into the vibe. What? Chilling in the corner at the shelter all by myself, checking it out. I'm not dancing no more, but why? Say they know what is what, but they don't know what is what. They just struck. What the fuck? What? I get deep, I get deep, I get deep, I get deep, I get deeper into this thing, and I pretend that they're not there. I just stare up in the booth at the dread man, spinning the song, spinning it strong, playing things like.